Okay, did you love those two verses that we're going to look at tonight? Oh, yeah. They are very familiar to us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and they are ones that we love and that we hold on to. And I think they're probably, I don't know, probably for a new Christian, I mean, this is like one of the first couple of verses I learned. How about you? Did you learn this too? Because we just need this. It's a much needed reminder to us that we are not to worry. And it's encouragement to us to know that when we do cast our cares upon Jesus, that his peace will rule and reign in our hearts and in our minds. There's a very familiar quote on worry. Worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. We all know that. Worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy and its strength. And that's very true. And then Billy Graham said, anxiety is the natural result when our hopes are centered in anything short of God and his will for us. Because when we have our eyes on the Lord, we're not going to worry. When we worry, we do not have our eyes on the Lord. Chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the word anxious there, it means worry, and I don't have to explain, but I will anyway. Worry means to strangle, to be torn apart, to fret, to agonize, to be nervous. And it also means a preoccupation with. And isn't that the truth? When there's anxiety and things to worry about, we are preoccupied with them and we play them over and over in our minds. Well, I don't have to tell you that we don't live in a perfect world and we are not around perfect people. And there are plenty of things that are happening in the world today, always has, but it's getting worse. Plenty of things in this world and then plenty of things that affect us personally that would cause us to worry. You just turn on the news and there are things that can really cause us to worry. Or we all have family situations that can cause us to worry. Some of the big things that we tend to worry about, one of them is money, your finances. I don't know if there's anybody in here that has never not worried about money at one time or another. There's never enough of it. No matter how much you have, there's never enough. The price of things today is going off the graph. I have my grandchildren, and that is why I can't speak, because I've had them for 5 days, 2 10-and-a-half-year-olds. But food, usually if I have my grandkids, I have them for a few hours, maybe a day overnight. And, you know, you go to the store and you get some extra little stuff and then it's gone and it's not a big deal. But 5 days, I kept going back to the store. I couldn't believe it. I feel really badly for all of the young families. I don't know how you do it with kids today. Clothing, they desperately needed clothes. So we went to and got them a few items. And, of course, there's two of them. And it's just like, wow. It adds up. We can always worry up. We can worry about clothes. We can worry about food. We worry about jobs. We worry about our house. We worry about, is there ever going to be any extra? Can I just get this little thing for myself? You know, I mean, we worry, worry, worry. Relationships is another thing that we worry about. strained relationships, can worry about the safety of our loved ones or their health or their troubles. As a mom, I think probably the biggest thing for us as women is that we worry about our children, and it never, ever, ever stops. You know, your children who aren't walking with the Lord or who are making bad decisions, and that will not just affect them, but it affects their children, your grandchildren, and on and on and on. These are real life things that we tend to worry about. And then health issues. As you get older, you start worrying because you see things aren't working the way that they used to work, and you can start worrying about those. So, you know, money, relationships, and health are three big things that cause us to worry. Then there are the other things that we worry about, like earthquakes and floods and fires. And then maybe we would never have thought about it, but then you just see what happened to Japan, and you just think, you know, why would you ever think of that? But here we are in California. Yeah, Modesto is in, we probably don't have to worry about a tsunami in Modesto, but there are earthquakes, there are things like that that we can tend to start worrying about. We can also worry about getting in a car accident or getting hit by a car or poking our eye out. Have you ever thought of that? Don't do that or it'll poke your eye out. You know, when you're a kid, you think it's silly, and then you find yourself as a mom and as a grandma saying things like that. Don't do that. You're going to poke your eye out. In fact, my dad, he watches a show that they have on now about, I don't know what it's called, but it's about like freak accidents and freak deaths. So if you weren't worrying, go ahead and watch this show. And there was, apparently they shared one thing with me, so don't worry about this, but this lady was either laughing or sneezed really hard and went down with her drink and her straw went up her nose and into her brain and killed her. Now be careful when you have a drink with a straw. If you're going to sneeze, move it out of the way. You know, these are just crazy things that we can worry about. And I don't know how your imagination is, but, you know, sometimes we can get really silly about things and start worrying about things. Mark Twain said, "I am an old man and have known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened." They're all in our minds. So I don't think there's anybody in the room that has never worried before or who hasn't worried about something that's absolutely ridiculous that just could never happen. We all do that. And we know that worrying doesn't get us anywhere. It's like the rocking chair. It gives us something to do, but you don't get anywhere. Jesus told us in Matthew 6, "Do not worry. Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek." And the Gentiles, they're the ones without God. They're the ones who have no one to lean on. And so they're going to worry about all of that. But he's making a point here. That's what they do. You're my people. You don't have to be thinking about these things and worrying about these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. And there really is enough right at the moment to be having our mind focused on and what we're supposed to be doing, then looking to tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the what if and the what if and the what if and the what if that we all do that causes us to worry. And we also know that worrying, it doesn't get us anywhere, but it does affect us, and it affects us in a negative way. We all know that. We can get headaches. We can get tension. We can get rashes when we worry. We can have heart problems. We can have stomach problems. All kinds of things from worry, from that stress of worrying. But we are told here, we are not to worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. And the Lord, He knows us. He knows that we are sinful human beings, that we are weak, and we are prone to worry about everything. Not just these things, but we can worry about everything. Are there any known, really, you've got it down on worrying? I am the only one in the room. I do not believe that. I really can worry really well. I said it opposite. It's because I've had 2 10-and-a-half-year-olds this week, okay? So you're really good at worrying. A lot of practice. Okay. Well, He tells us what we're supposed to do with our worry. And again, we probably learned this when we were brand new, but this has been really good for me, especially when you have plenty of things in your life that cause concern. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Bill McDonald said, and I love this, he said that it is possible to live in an atmosphere of prayer. And I like that word atmosphere accompanied with prayer. To live in an atmosphere of prayer. Now we know it in 1 Thessalonians 5, it tells us to pray without ceasing. So it is that conversation all day long with the Lord. And where we're mindful of Him, we are aware of His presence, and we're aware that, you know, He is right here, and so we just can talk to Him all day long. That is that atmosphere of prayer. And the prayer in this verse, it is the overall attitude, or somebody else said, the mood of life. That's what it's talking about. So this word prayer, it doesn't necessarily mean this is the prayer where I sit down and I'm going to pray now. This is the prayer that is that atmosphere of prayer, that praying without ceasing, that mood in your life of prayer, and it is worship to the Lord because you're constantly communicating with the Lord. So there is this, I just love that, this atmosphere. You are walking in that mood. You are walking in that awareness and that communion with the Lord, that He is ever present, that He is your friend. He's right there with you, your friend, that can go anywhere with you. You don't go anywhere alone. He's with us. And that He is our counselor. And when we worry, we need somebody to counsel us. We need somebody to guide us, and He's there all the time. So during the course of the day, when we're communing with Him over these troubles and just talking with Him, He's counseling us. He's speaking to us. And that He is everything, everything that we need. And the word supplication in this verse, it means that specific request that we bring to the Lord. So we're to have that life of prayer and then those specific requests that He wants us to bring to Him. Now, a lot of times, a lot of us worry about things and we just worry and worry and worry and worry and worry and we don't pray about them. We are so busy in our minds thinking about these problems and these troubles, and they're very real. And then thinking about the what if. Well, what if they don't? Well, what if they do? Well, what if, you know, all of those things. And we don't pray. We don't pray. And then a lot of times, some of us, well, we just think about these things. I mean, we're worrying, and then we think about them. We think about them, not stressing out over them, but we think about them. Well, let's see. Da 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 da, and we kind of get everything in order and all worked out. We have these conversations with this person and this person and this person. Oh, okay, they didn't answer right there, so I'll start over and I'll do the conversation again. We're thinking about all of these things instead of praying about them. Or we talk to everyone else but the Lord. We talk to our husband about it, and we talk to our mother about it, and we talk to our friends about it. And we talk and we talk and we talk and we talk about these troubles, about these worries. And we don't talk to the Lord about it. That's just a simple thing, but sometimes we need to be reminded. Is there something in our life right now that we are worrying about and not praying about? And if there is, then we need to turn all of those thoughts and all those worries into prayers to the Lord. He said to be anxious or worry about nothing, but in everything. Everything. So what he's saying is nothing is too small to bring to the Lord. And isn't that great? I mean, that is just, I need to be reminded of that. Because, in fact, right this second while I'm speaking, I am being reminded of that. It's not a small area, it's a big area in my life that I have just said, okay, well, I've got to do this, 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 and this, instead of, oh, Lord, maybe perhaps I could talk to you about this. And, you know, everything, nothing is too insignificant, no care. I mean, you know, what you worry about, what I worry about, may be so different. You know, if you worry about this thing and I just think, oh, what is the big deal? You know what? Talk to the Lord about that little thing. If it's a big deal to you, he wants to hear it. And if you cast your cares on him, he will take care of those things. We're to pray about everything because our Heavenly Father wants to hear us. And maybe a husband doesn't want to hear it anymore, or a mom doesn't want to hear it anymore, or a friend doesn't want to hear it anymore. But he always wants to hear. He always will listen. So we need to bring everything to him. So this living in this atmosphere of prayer and then those specific requests. Lord, I am worried about this. I'm worried about this person. I'm worried about these finances. I'm worried about whatever it is. And Lord, you already know that I'm worrying, but will you help me here? Will you give me the perspective, you know, and just letting it all out at his feet. Then he goes on to say, with thanksgiving. And you know, as a new Christian, I didn't get that. I thought, okay, I'm not supposed to worry, and I'm supposed to pray about everything. I got that. But with thanksgiving, so I don't get it. So I'm supposed to like thank him for this horrible thing. I'm supposed to thank him for this trial. I don't understand that. Or I thought, oh, okay, well, then maybe it's like Pollyanna, you know, where she had to, you know, think about everything good. So if you think about, you know, a bad thing, you got to think about two good things that might, you know, be okay in this situation, and then it kind of evens you out, kind of a thing. I just didn't get it. But there is always something to thank the Lord in any given situation. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and in everything, not for everything, but in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we need to thank the Lord. However, in this context of worry and of prayer, and again, those worries can be pretty big. They can be devastating. I mean, there are things that we worry about each and every day, but there are certain situations in our lives that are a constant worry, a constant concern. And again, especially I think as moms, we worry about our kids. Does not matter how old they are. And we always worry about them, make the decisions that they make, whether they walk with the Lord fully, halfway, not at all. The decisions that they make that will affect the whole family, affect us. If there's grandchildren, boy, do we worry about them. That's really hard. And our minds can just go off. And I've shared this before, but for me, when I am in that state of where I'm really worried, and we've had, you know, some family things that have really caused great concern for us, And so when I am in that, and I know how I am, my mind can go and I can think of the worst possible scenarios. And I can do that in prayer. I don't know if you do have that problem, but I do. I can start praying about it and I can be so, get so emotionally involved in this concern that I have that my mind starts going off and off and off. And I, you know, it's like I'm having my prayer time and I am hysterical. Way lost of perspective. So I pray scripture. I because I can't let my mind go anywhere else. He knows. So I will just pray a specific scripture for my loved one, for, you know, everyone that's involved. And I will keep my mind focused on that. Lord, you show them your ways. Lord, you teach them your paths. Lord, you please help them to trust you. Please help them to turn to you. Please help them, you know, and I find those scriptures and then I go there and then I leave it because I can get worked up. But anyway, back to the thanking part. Giving the Lord thanks changes our perspective in prayer. And this thanksgiving, we can start with, Lord, thank you for who you are, for who you are in this situation. This situation is so painful. It is so overwhelming. I am so concerned about the outcome, about what I see. And if that continues, you know the result. I mean, we all have seen the result. And Lord, thank you that you are on the throne and that you love this person, these people, far more than I do. Lord, thank you that you have a plan for them. Lord, thank you that you know their thoughts from afar off. Thank you that yet you work everything for good. Thank you that you are merciful. Maybe they don't deserve mercy, but do I? Does anybody? But thank you, Lord, that you're merciful. Thank you that you are gracious and compassionate. And you go on and on and on in this thanksgiving of who he is, that he is in control, that he knows all things, that he is working, that he's orchestrating it all, that his timing is perfect, that though I may not see all the things and I may see that this is not going to work, he sees behind the scenes because he's moving there. Thank you, Lord, that you see all that and that you know. You know what each person needs or each whatever your given situation is. Of course, I'm talking about my situation. And I know that you only allow suffering to work good out of it. So, Lord, thank you for that. And as I am in prayer, lifting up all of these worries that can consume me, that as I am thanking him, boy, does my perspective change. And this weight is lifted, and his peace then rules and reigns in my heart. When I went into prayer, maybe his peace was ruling and reigning in my heart. And then when I start praying about this person that I absolutely love and I don't want to see devastation, then I start getting anxious and I start worrying. And my peace is disturbed. And then I turn my thoughts and I thank the Lord for all these things, for who he is and all that he can do. And his peace, it's ruling and reigning in my heart. And then I can get up and I can leave it and I can move on. When his peace, you know, as we, when our minds are on him and we are thanking him, his peace, it replaces all of the worry, all the fear, and it just. Oh, I lost my train of thought now. This has been a hard week. Peace in my mind, because when my mind is on the Lord, then my peace remains, which is why in the next lesson, Paul goes on to tell us what to think on. Think on these things. Because when I think on my worries and my cares, there's no peace. There's absolutely no peace. But when I think on these things, then his peace remains in my heart. By thanking the Lord, it brings me to a place of worship of him. Because then I start thinking about his majesty, and I think about his beauty, and I think about his grace. And how can I worry when I'm worshiping? I can't. When I'm worshiping the Lord and I am praising him and thanking him, then that's where my mind is. You know, in Isaiah it says he will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. So when I take those worries and those cares and I cast them on him and I start praising and thanking him, then the peace abides, the peace remains. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." And that verse just washes over us and comforts our hearts. His peace. And that is the peace that passes all understanding. Only his peace does that. It's that peace that as he slept in that boat in the middle of a raging storm, that these seasoned fishermen were panicking and worrying that they were going to drown. And Jesus is sleeping peacefully. That's the peace that he gives to us. Don't worry. I'm going to give you my peace. That's his peace that can be ruling and reigning in our hearts. His peace guards our hearts and minds. And the illustration is like a soldier who is assigned to watch over a certain area. They're guarding this area so that nothing disturbs this area. Somebody said it's like a soldier who mounts guard and patrols before the heart's door, keeping worry out. That's what his peace does. It's a guard. It is a protection around our hearts so that it keeps that worry out. It keeps that fear, the doubt, all of that out. And then casting our cares on him and bringing our worries and our cares and all of those things to him in prayer, along with thanksgiving, if we do that all day and every day, then the peace abides in our hearts. And I kept singing that song, and I'm going to read you the lyrics. We all know them, but I'm going to read it because when we think about worry and we think about prayer, this is the song. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. I'm choking up. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He is a friend. And we forfeit our peace when we worry. We forfeit our peace when we don't cast our cares on him, when we don't bring it to the Lord in prayer. In Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful." And let the peace of God rule. It tells us in Philippians, it's a guard. His peace guards our heart. And then in Colossians, that it should rule. And that word rule, it's like an umpire with a whistle. It's ruling in our hearts. His peace is to be a constant, normal experience for Christians. His peace is not a once a year thing, once a quarter, once a month, you know, once in a while as a little treat that I have the Lord's peace. It is to be normal for every Christian. His peace, because he gave us his peace. That it should be ruling, guarding in our hearts all the time. So his peace, when it rules like an umpire, his peace blows the whistle to warn us when something is coming against that peace. So when that worry starts to creep back in, the whistle blows. And if I ignore the whistle and I listen to the worry, the peace is out the window. But if I listen to that whistle, oh, that's right. Okay, Lord, and you get your mind back on him and you start praising and thanking him, then the peace, it rules. It rules. But we should be walking in that peace of the Lord all the time so that when that does happen, our peace is disturbed. It is so strange to not be peaceful. Like you're really aware of it. That's how a Christian life is supposed to be. And it takes practice and it takes discipline. Discipline of the mind, which again is next week, thinking on those things. To not worry. And as we grow in the Lord, you know, you have your relationship with the Lord and you as a new Christian, you know, you have to learn these lessons in these little areas where, you know, but they're big to you. It's like, you know, a two-year-old worrying about they dropped their blanket or something. And as they get older, they realize it's not that big of a deal, you know. So for us as a new Christian, we worry about these things. And the Lord gently, he teaches us and we're learning to cast our cares on him. And we're learning to walk in having his peace rule and reign in our hearts and our lives. And we're not this frantic, crazy mess, and we just continue to walk with the Lord and grow in that, and we get so used to that peace that it's easier to recognize when it gets disturbed. But then sometimes we get hit with even bigger things, harder things that really stretch our faith, and we. As the quote I read in the beginning with that Billy Graham said, when we're worrying, we're not having faith in the Lord. We don't have our mind on him. We are saying, you can't handle this. You're gonna let this whole thing blow up. What am I gonna do? You know, faith doesn't talk to the Lord like that. You know, faith says, you're in control. You're in control. But we grow. We won't be 100% till we're face to face with him. But he gives us these blessed opportunities in our lives. These trials, these things that can stir up all that worry in our lives to take us to another level with him, deeper, so that we put into practice all these things that we've learned about him and we learn to trust him more. And we learn to cling to him more. And we learn to discipline our minds even more. And we learn to go to him in prayer more and more and live in that atmosphere of prayer. In this world, Jesus said, we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because he has overcome. So just a little reminder tonight for us. If we are worrying rather than praying, then we need to stop. And we need to take those cares and we need to turn them into prayers. And then we need to remember who we're praying to, our big God, a great King, and praise and thank him for who he is, that he is in control. And that he has a plan, he has a purpose, he has a reason. I mean, you know, you look at Job and all that he went through, and we see behind the scenes, but he certainly didn't. talk about reason to worry. And then you have his friends throwing, you know, all the worry back on top of him and the stress and all that. Yeah, God had it all under control. It's the same thing with your situation, my situation, that I can't see the end. I can't see a lot of it. But he is in control. He's in control of your situation, whatever your greatest worry is, whatever your littlest worry is. He is in control. So let's take those things to our great big God and praise him and thank him and cast our cares on him and then watch and see how our perspective changes and how his peace then continues to abide and rule and guard our hearts and our minds. And I'm gonna stop. I'm sorry. It's just time to go home for me, not for you. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you are on the throne of our lives. And Lord, I know that I am not the only one in this room that has cares and has worries. And some just this week have been hit with really hard things. And Lord, you know us inside and out. You know our weaknesses, you know our frailties. And thank you, Lord, for your compassion. And thank you for your reminders. For these two verses, Lord, they give us life. They give us hope. They give us encouragement. They give us instruction and exhortation. And I thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you that we can cast our cares on you, knowing that you care for us. And thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be anxious for anything, but in everything we can pray and lift up our requests to you, and we can thank you and praise you, and we thank you and praise you for the peace that passes all understanding. And thank you, Lord, that we experience that peace just as you were in that boat asleep, and the disciples were panicking, Lord. In our own lives, everything around us can be chaos, and yet your wonderful, sweet peace can rule and reign in our hearts, and we thank you. That's priceless, Lord. It is priceless, and we thank you and praise you for that. And Lord, I pray for my sisters. I pray that you would bless the time that they have in their groups, that they would be able to talk to you, talk about you to each other, to encourage one another, and to just share their burdens and get prayer from their sisters for these worries and these cares. Thank you that you care for us, and thank you that you have placed us in a body in this little study, Lord, with women who care and who share your love. I pray that you would bless each one of them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you really good this week.